As a tax collector, St. Matthew was very familiar with the Roman monetary system. Many passages in his gospel reflect this familiarity. He often uses terms like debt, payment, and accounting. In order to better understand his gospel, it is helpful to review what we know of that monetary system. The most basic Roman coin was the denarius. This silver coin was used to pay taxes to the emperor and also represented a fair wage for a day's labor. A gold talent weighed almost 90 pounds and was equivalent to 6,000 denarii. So each talent was worth about 16 years' wages. With these two facts, we can better interpret today's gospel. In our reading today, we heard two phrases, a huge amount and a much smaller amount. The literal translation from the Greek that St. Matthew used is 10,000 talents and 100 denarii, respectively. This helps us to put these debts into better perspective. One servant owed the other servants about 3 months' worth of wages, and that's a pretty typical kind of debt. Now, that servant owed his master an equivalent of 160,000 years' wages. How did he ever accrue such a debt? And how would he ever expect to pay it back? He literally had no way to pay it back. As Christians, we recognize that each one of us is in the same position. God has given us our physical life, as well as his own life through our baptism. We were born into sin and darkness, and yet given life and light through Jesus' death on the cross. We each owe God a huge amount, and we can never repay that. What we can do is forgive each other's debts from our hearts. Lack of forgiveness is what causes God to be angry with us. In the Our Father, we pray that God will forgive our trespasses as we have forgiven others their trespasses against us. In the Greek that St. Matthew used, he wrote about debts and debtors. We still use that idiom today when we talk about someone owing us an apology. For me, the most interesting part of the parable that Jesus tells is when his fellow servants saw what had happened, they were deeply disturbed and went to their master and reported the whole affair. It is the cries of others for justice that caused God to act. And this is a good thing to keep in mind when the way we treat our brothers and sisters. Psalm 34 reminds us, the righteous cry out, the Lord hears, and he rescues them from all their afflictions. Psalm 69 says, for the Lord hears the poor and does not spurn those in bondage. And finally, in Proverbs 15, it says, the Lord is far from the wicked, but hears the prayer of the just. In his letter to the Romans, St. Paul addresses problems that are arising in the Christian community regarding how closely to follow Jewish dietary laws. Although Paul acknowledges that, in principle, no food is a source of moral contamination, he recommends that the consciences of Christians who are scrupulous in this regard be respected by other Christians. On the other hand, those who have scruples are not to sit in judgment on those who know that the gospel has liberated them from such ordinances. He points out that we are equal under the cross of Christ. None of us lives for oneself, and no one dies for oneself. For if we live, we live for the Lord, and if we die for the Lord. So then, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. These words of St. Paul help us remember our debts toward one another are so small when compared to the debt each of us owes to God and his willingness to cancel our debt. Our first reading today is taken from the book of Sirach. This book was written about 200 years before Jesus was born. It was a summary of Jewish wisdom dealing with friendship, education, poverty and wealth, laws, religious worship, and many other matters that reflect the religious and social customs of the time. The words we hear today connect directly to the gospel. Forgive your neighbor's injustice. Then when you pray, your own sins will be forgiven. Could anyone nourish anger against another and expect healing from the Lord? Jesus quotes these words when he gives the apostles the Lord's Prayer and emphasizes forgiveness in that. It also emphasizes justice arises from giving to God and to others what is due to them. When St. Peter had asked Jesus how many times he had to forgive his brother, he sounded like an accountant or a tax collector. In his typical way, Jesus' answer, 77 times, is symbolic. Through the parable, he tells us why we are to forgive, that it makes us like God himself. If we can look at God knowing that we have forgiven the debts of our brothers and sisters, then we can be confident that our own debt to God has been canceled through the saving action of his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus has established God's new covenant with the world. The center of this new covenant is forgiveness. Jesus has already taught his followers to pray for it and has commanded that if you want forgiveness, you've got to be prepared to give it. God does not want any of us to live with this unforgivable debt. That is why he gives us access to his spirit of forgiveness and the sacraments. The Catechism puts it this way: it is impossible to keep the Lord's commandment by imitating the divine model from outside. There has to be a vital participation. And here we see the sacraments coming from the depths of the heart in the holiness and the mercy and the love of our God. Only the Spirit by whom we live can make ours the same mind that was in Christ Jesus. Then the unity of forgiveness becomes possible, and we find ourselves forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave us.